Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
It's Monday, everybody, and I am Glenda Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings in Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for December 10th, 2012. It's episode 548, brought to you today by Omega Alpha Equine. Good morning, horse people.
Well, it's Monday morning, everybody, and we bring you the holiday hits that Jamie so loves, like this
one.
Oh,
God.
Grandma got run over by a reindeer, walking home from our house Christmas Eve.
How do you do this to me?
Start your Monday off right. Gotta get you going. Get the blood going.
Yeah, let's get you going.
Another Jennings favorite.
I want a hippopotamus for Christmas.
I know that's one of your favorites.
Oh, such a good singer.
Don't want a doll, no dinky tinker toy.
And who could forget Jamie's all-time favorite Christmas song?
Hey, jingity jing, it's Dominic the Donkey, jingity jing.
I won't make you suffer through that whole thing.
It's embarrassing. That's embarrassing, Glenn. Yeah, I was just realizing, too, when you started playing the music, I'm like, oh, my God, how many more days do I have until I have to get, because none of my family is in Phoenix, and I've put my foot down. I'm not seeing a one of them for Christmas because nobody came to visit me this year. So, you know what? If you want to see me, you can come visit me. I'm pregnant. I don't want to go anywhere. I just want to sit in my house and do nothing on Christmas Day besides, you know, maybe hang out with my husband and ride some horses. So anybody wants to come, great. If not, sorry, I ain't flying. So here's the thing is I have to get all these Christmas presents. I did buy them gifts. I'm not a total Scrooge. I have to get them all mailed out. And when that started playing, I was like, how many days do I have? Because I haven't quite finished my shopping yet.
You have 2 weeks, Jamie. 2 weeks for today is Christmas Eve. 2 weeks.
Yeah. Yeah. 14 is Christmas Eve, 15 till the big day. So I probably should shop for my husband as well. He may require one or two Christmas presents because he's been pretty awesome this year. Santa likey. So I better be nice. Have you, Glenn, Jennifer's not here. She's not listening. So have you done your shopping for Jennifer yet?
See, now Jennifer went out yesterday and did her own shopping on Saturday because she came home and she said, and I had this plan of something I was going to get her. And but she came home Saturday, and she needs a new pair of tall boots. And she said, I found this great pair of tall boots at the tack shop for 40% off. So Merry Christmas, Jennifer. Go pick up your tall boots today. She needs
you can
tall
save,
boots
you can
to go
save the plan for my birthday, dear.
What's that?
You can save that big plan for my birthday.
Oh, okay. Yeah, see, that's in May. So that'll probably work in May, too. So that's what happened there. Then, Jamie, see, we got a great family because we made a deal a long time ago that we don't exchange gifts with the adults. On Jennifer's side or my side, it was just something that we had too many brothers and sisters. We just said we don't do it anymore. So here we moved closer to my brothers. It's the first time we've lived really close, like within a mile of family in 25 years. And my brother stopped over yesterday and said, you do realize we still don't exchange gifts. I don't care how close we live. So we're off the hook there, too.
Man, what a good gig. Although it is nice to get presents. But I want to get back to the boots here because did you just tell Jennifer what she got or Jennifer bought them for herself? I don't understand. Did you say Merry Christmas
them
now?
She came home and said, I got them. They're there at 40% off and she's going to get them today. I said, well, then why didn't you buy them? So she's going to pick them up today. So
and Jennifer, are you going to bring them home and wrap them and put them under the tree and wait till Christmas, or are you going to slap them on and go get on your horse?
Dang, I'm going to go riding them.
There's no wait until Christmas.
I'll put a bow on them on Christmas Day.
That's the hardest thing about Christmas shopping is, like, I see something and I just want to buy it for myself, and I've realized, well, let me just put it on my list. Whatever. If I want it, I might as well get it, because the chances of me getting it are very slim. You know what I mean?
Well, that is true. Yeah, that is absolutely true. And, you know, I think you get to a certain age, too, where you just go, oh, I'm just going to buy it anyway. You know, so you end up buying it. You know, and then I'm terrible at giving lists. I think your mother's still waiting for a list from me, isn't she, Jennifer? Because I didn't make one yet.
This is how it works.
With
Chad and I, we love getting presents, and we love giving each other presents, and it's really fun. And but this is how we do it, and I hope that none of my parents or mother-in-law are listening right now, is what happens is they'll call me, like Chad's mom will call me and be like, listen, what do you want me to get Chad for Christmas from us? What does he really need? And then I'll say, well, he really wants this. And then she'll go, okay, here's the money. Go buy it and wrap it. So here's what I do. Like, after a couple years of that, I go, all right, babe, what do you want your mom to give you? Ooh, I want this. And I'll go, okay. And then his mom called him. I'll be like, you know what? We could really surprise him with this item. And, oh, that's great. And so basically, it kind of works the same way with my family or anybody that wants to buy me a gift. He goes, hey, babe, what do you want from your dad? So it's like nobody ships anything. We just shop for each other. Might as well go out together and buy the presents together, because that's about as much surprise as is involved in the whole thing. So, but it's fun. I like Christmas shopping. Christmas presents.
Surprise is going to be back in the mix here next Christmas, because now you're going to be starting the kids thing when it starts. You know, then it gets serious.
Yeah, I've realized too. I mean, aside from putting up a tree, neither one of us own a Christmas decoration at all. And I guess when you have kids, you really want to kind of start decorating for Christmas. So Chad's like, we need to decorate. And I said, okay, well, on December 26th, we'll go out and buy a whole bunch of Christmas stuff.
There you go.
It'll be clearance.
Hit up Walmart and Walgreens.
Exactly. I'm like, brilliant. That's awesome. All right, Jennifer, what do you have on today's show? Besides your
on
new
today's Omega Alpha Monday edition, we begin with the be-all to end-all of Christmas gifts. We're doing another one of the places we'd all love to own, a little place called Aquila Farm, located in what might be called the birthplace of eventing in America, South Hamilton, Massachusetts. And to mop up the mess that Monday presents, the wily voice of Horse Nation arrives with a menage of equine-inspired mayhem.
Thank you, Jennifer. Well, let's do our daily whinnies today. I have, if I can find it on the list, where'd it go? There it is. I have this. That happy birthday is to our listener, Susan Nelson. We appreciate you, Susan, and happy birthday.
Well, I have a couple. The first one is quick, and it is a congratulations to Tammy Smith, who is a Fleeceworks rider. She won the Rebecca Broussard Developing Rider Grant. The USEA, U.S. Eventing Association, had its annual meeting this year, and Tammy won a $10,000 grant. I mean, tell me a horse girl can't spend $10,000 pretty quick. Well, it couldn't happen to a nicer person. I've been fortunate enough to see her at competitions and stuff because she's on the West Coast, and just a super nice person, and congratulations to Tammy. I have another one. There we go. Okay, check this story out. September 14th, over 200 animals were seized from an animal hoarder in Cave Junction. I think this is in Oregon. 177 of these animals were miniature horses. And a lot of them were in foal and have had foals since they were seized. There's like 190 minis, I think, that ended up coming from this animal hoarder in Oregon, And there was an auction this past weekend at the Josephine County Fairgrounds for all of these minis. Well, of course, you know, nobody wants to see a mini go anywhere that's not going to be a good home. Nobody can stand seeing a cute little miniature horse. I mean, and then really, who's going to slaughter them? Like, they don't get very much for your money. So, you know what I mean? So anyway, they put together a ginormous rescue operation. And this sucker went viral. And every one of the 100 and almost 90 minis were bid on, purchased. There was more people there than minis available for adoption. People had bidding wars on these miniature horses. That is how much the public came out to take care of their own. I just think this is such a cool story. Apparently, bids were between $300 and $3,000. Glenn,
wow.
Three mini donkeys were sold together for $2,400.
Wow.
Yeah.
There must have been a lot of people there.
Yeah, there was. And I apparently, this woman had bought a lot of these animals from local people, a lot of the minis, and they were kind of misled on what was going on at this lady's house. And I guess she was just breeding them and not, you know, obviously neglecting and hoarding. So a lot of the original owners came back out and bought back their minis that they, because they didn't know.
How cool was that?
Yeah. So a really cool story. Congratulations to everybody involved in that. It was just an awesome deal. Anna Clay was one of the volunteers spearheading the effort. So I guess the daily winning kind of goes to her and the rest of them. So congrats, everybody.
They deserve it. Well, this Friday, Really Bad Ads is back, and we have a new prize for you, something that we have not given away before, and that's a pair of hose nozzles from Hydra-T. And these are some terrific hose nozzles. The Hydra-T connects to the end of your hose and provides a pulsating water for equine therapy for sore joints, tendons, and muscles. Equine therapy is a must for both performance and pleasure horses. And this Hydra-T provides a non-painful equine therapy to open wounds or for an enhanced healing. And you can also use it for bathing. So we're giving away a pair, a two-pack of these Hydra-T hose nozzles, and that will be the prize on Friday. Get your ads in to Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com and put Really Bad Ads in the subject line. And also, before we go on with the show here, we wanted to encourage everybody, if you would like, to leave us a voicemail, and we'll play it on the air. If you'd like to wish somebody a happy holidays, whether it's your family or your horse, or you want to wish your kids a Merry Christmas so they can hear it on the show, whatever it is, you can leave a holiday voicemail by calling 270-803-0025, 270-803-0025, and we'll play it on one of the shows coming up in the next 2 weeks before the holidays.
Oh, that's we got to post that on Facebook. I think we had some of the cutest little holiday voicemails last year with little kids singing songs, you know, sing a Christmas carol, get creative. We're going to play you back on the radio.
Yep, that sounds terrific. I hope we get some this year. There were some fun ones last year. Well, there wasn't much news, was there, over the weekend? You know what I saw, which was rather depressing? The only thing I saw on the news over the weekend, pretty much, was just rescue stories and horses dying. It was just doom and gloom. This time of year, there's not much competition going on, except for the NFR out there in Vegas. And it just was doom and gloom. So I was like, okay, I'm not going to do any of that news.
Yeah.
Welcome
definitely,
to Monday.
Definitely not. You know, it's no fun to do sad stories. That's not kind of the show we are, but I have a little bright spot for my week. First of all, did you guys do anything fun this weekend?
Yeah, we went to Saturday night. We went to the Ocala Parade, Christmas Parade, which was our first time going to that. And let me tell you what, I think they said there were over 60,000 people there watching the Ocala Parade, and I believe it. It was packed. I have never seen so many people at a little hometown community parade, and it lasted over 2 hours. And one thing I do
what?
Have to say,
really?
I know, 2 hours. We actually left right before it was over because it was like, okay, I've seen enough high school bands and cheerleaders going by. But it was there were some horses in the parade. There were a couple of horse groups. Jennifer can probably remember better than I can which horse groups. The Buffalo Soldiers were there. They have a unit down here, so they apparently are in all the parades. The Mounted Police were there, so the Ocala Mounted Police, looking sharp, they were there. And then there was a little Mini in a carriage. That was the only carriage there was a Mini, and of course that was very popular. But otherwise, it was, I have to say, really bad high school bands. They aren't so good down here. We came from a high school where the band, you know, had won national competition. So it was like, oh, man, this is really terrible. And then the one thing that we did notice, and we've been told about the high schools down here, and you'll be proud coming from a military family. You remember ROTC in school. Was that really a big thing in your high school when you were growing up?
It wasn't in mine, but that is actually how Chad got his entire start in the military. He started ROTC at like the age of 12, and that is how he went to the military school. He had an ROTC scholarship, I mean, the whole deal. So it was a big deal for him in Oklahoma.
Well, apparently it's a huge deal in Florida, too, because they have full-time teachers that are for the ROTC. In our school up in Pennsylvania, it was just a club, and there were maybe 10 people in it. They marched in this parade, and the units, the biggest, actually, was the Air Force unit from the one high school here in Ocala. Must have had 150 kids in it. I mean, it was huge. And they do have full-time teachers. It's an actual curriculum and program here where we didn't see that where I was growing up. So, and then each school had the Army and the Navy, and they were all this big. We were shocked how many kids were in the military programs here. It was
amazing.
That's
great. Hey, you mentioned about how, first of all, I think about the ROTC people, because they're marching, right? I mean, they were pretty much marching in the parade. And then you say that the high school bands were not that good. And, Glenn, I would like for you to realize what you said, though, is right before that the parade was 2 hours. So these people had been playing instruments for 2 hours. If you play the tuba... and you're holding that sucker for 2 hours, blowing into that thing, or the trombone, or the trumpet, whatever. How dare you say they weren't good? The guy's 15 years old, has a 40-pound drum around his neck, and you're going to say he's not that good 2 hours later.
I did feel really bad for the Dunellen, which is next to Ocala here. They must have had 10 people in the band. I don't know how big Dunellen High School is, but they aren't in the band. I don't know if they're on the football team. But they're not in the band. There was Jennifer Kent noticed there was one of every instrument. And how hard is that when you're playing in a band that has one of every instrument?
Well, you know, you it doesn't matter how big you are, you get to say your first chair.
That's true.
Yeah.
I played first chair.
I do have some horse news. Hey, one of the big exciting news from the USEA convention, the eventing convention over the weekend in Colorado, was two things. There were two really big exciting newses. One was that Jacqueline Mars, who I think is from the Mars family, pledged $500,000 to the U.S. eventing program. Now, she's been a big owner for many, many, many years of young event horses, and she's been David O'Connor said she's the greatest supporter that the sport has ever seen. And she pledged $500,000 if it could be matched by June the 1st of next year by other donors. And apparently several other donors, the Wilbesons and the Broussards, who are also big supporters of eventing, have come forward and made large donations. And they said they're already well on their way to meeting the match, which would give them $1 million additional funding for the U.S. eventing program. So that's just terrific.
Yeah, well, Jacqueline Mars, I mean, she owned Gilt Edge, she's owned most all of David O'Connor's Rolex horses. I think she owned Mr. Medicott as well. She has been the O'Connor owner for so many years. I think also Gilt Edge, Prince Panache, just pretty much any horse that was 4-star Rolex event horse that the O'Connors rode was owned by Jacqueline Mars. So she has done nothing but support the sport of eventing from the very beginning. I mean, since the 80s, she's owned these horses. I mean, she is like a super billionaire, like Forbes list number. She's, I think, number 16 on Forbes list. Okay, so she's doing pretty good. She owns Uncle Ben's rice, obviously Mars, and then the Whiskers cat food. Just the long line of stuff that family owns. But you know what? They give back, and that's the most important thing. And that's the kind of thing you like to see. She is just a total horse person, and thank God she picked eventing.
Yeah, exactly. Well, the other big news from the weekend was from they always have an induction and a dinner and a dance and everything for the Hall of Fame for the United States Eventing Association. And this year, inducted into the Hall of Fame, and this apparently had everybody, it just had everybody in the place in tears, and that was the tribute to Amy Tryon. You remember Olympic eventer Amy Tryon died this year. And at her home, and so they had her, they inducted her into the Hall of Fame, and there was, her husband was there, and there were some speeches and things, and apparently it just had everybody in tears. But and then Lena Wright was inducted, Roger Haller, Gilt Edge, which was the horse you just talked about, which was David O'Connor's, if I remember right? And then there was one we have a connection to because we've had her on the show a number of times talking about her horse, the Grey Goose. So, Jennifer, did you ever meet the Grey Goose?
You know, I did not. She always came to our farm for our clinics, and the one time I went up to her place, he was hiding back in his stall taking a nap. So I never got to meet him.
Now, I just wanted to say here that who are we talking about?
What do you mean, who are we talking about? We're talking about Kim Wallace.
Kim Wallace,
and
right. And Kim actually posted over the weekend, apparently, she was there and, she accepted the award for the Grey Goose, and this was her, talk about lifetime horses, this was her lifetime horse that she had back in the, I'm trying to remember whether it was the 70s or 80s that the Grey Goose rode.
She got him early in the 70s, if I remember right.
Yeah, so congratulations to her. A big shout-out to Kim. But there was something that happened, too, that was quite exciting that Kim talked about. Can you tell us about that over the weekend? With what's that? Jennifer's not keeping up today.
I have no idea what you're talking about. Let's see. Maybe she stayed at a really nice hotel.
No. Somebody showed up to go to be there for her husband, and her daughter fell off. Which rider? Who was that?
Oh, I don't know if I would have called that exciting. It was tragic.
Well,
exciting. Jim Wofford and his lovely wife, when they got there, were notified that their daughter had taken a spill off of one of her horses and was hospitalized. So Mrs. Wofford made a lightning-fast U-turn in the airport without picking up her luggage and flew right back home to be with their daughter. But I don't have any medical updates other than that she was hospitalized.
Okay, so we don't have any updates on that. All right.
Wow, that's awful.
And then one other thing, too. This just came up on Facebook before the show. Remember I talked about last week that Lexington Catholic High School started an equine academy, that it was going to be a four-year program for students who wanted to major in equine in high school, which is kind of unheard of. But they are doing an auction, and it's just started on eBay, where you can create your own VIP tour for up to 20 people at Three Chimneys Farm in Lexington. So some options include meeting the stallions, Flower Alley, I'll have another, Big Brown, blah, blah, blah. You can do all of that. But basically you work with your own personal concierge at Three Chimneys to put together a behind-the-fences experience tailored to your interest and liking.
Let me stop you there. Because you're reading this as a dude who doesn't understand exactly what is being auctioned off. There is no blah, blah, blah when you are creating your own VIP tour at Three Chimneys Farm. So let me paint this picture a little bit better for you. You get to potentially decide on, do I want to go out and watch some of the Three Chimney Stallions gallop that morning, or because Three Chimneys is one of the only places where the stallions still gallop. They have a racetrack and everything. You get to hang out there. You get to go feed Big Brown and Point Given their favorite treats. You can go hang out with the mares and foals in the field in the spring. There's no blah, blah, blah. And I would also like to point out that they are also auctioning off other items. So I clicked on the link. And let me read you some of these auction items, okay? Because one in particular excited me. I'll get to that. Bluegrass Horse Farm private tour of Claiborne Farms, of course, which is where Secretariat is buried. Claiborne Farms, where Secretariat lived forever. They have more famous stallions there than you can imagine. Also, you can win a collectible autographed guitar from CMA Awards, which has autographs like Gary Allen, Faith Hill, Dirk Bentley, Reba McEntire, from Sugarland. I mean, just is all these auctions, these autographs. You can win a halter that was worn by Stormcat, a halter worn by Havridge of Grace, a VIP day at Keeneland's, a VIP opening weekend at Saratoga, a hangout at Churchill Downs, a box for six for the night racing. You can meet Glenn Beck, which you're probably excited about. Tickets to Jazz Fest, go to Tour Darley, collectible racehorse stuff, and, oh my God, meet 2010 Horse of the Year, Zenyatta. I'm going to start saying her name like Oprah does. Zenyatta. Yeah. So I'm like, I'm going to bid on that. I'm going to meet this mare someday. I swear to God, I'm going to meet her. And I'm like, opening day at Keeneland, the first bid is 99 cents. Opening bid, 99 cents. It's almost like they'll pay you to go meet Glenn Beck. Two VIP passes to different places. All the bidding has just started. Every single one of these bids is at 99 cents, except for one. The Zenyatta, Meet Zenyatta, 2010 Horse of the Year bid is already at $510. Are you kidding me?
No surprise there, is there?
Everything has not even been bid on yet. Oh, wait, Havard DeGrace's halter is up to $51. That's it. Everything else is no bids. One bid, 99 cents, blah, blah, blah. $510 to go meet Zenyatta. How much will my husband spend on a Christmas present, do you think?
Not that much. I don't think you're going to meet Zenyatta. Sorry.
Yeah.
This guitar, you know, if the right people saw this guitar autographed from the 46 CMA Awards, you could go pretty high if you got the collectors from the countryside, because there's a lot of signatures on here.
All that stuff, and that's the one you pick up. Something's wrong with you. And I know why you mentioned it, because you were scouring
the guitar. I'm looking for Carrie Underwood's signature is why I mentioned it. I can't find it.
Exactly.
Looking for it.
I don't think she signed it, buddy. Sorry. Hey, just to let you know, before we get our first guest on, I did something really awesome this weekend, and I wanted to share it with you guys. So I posted it on our Horses in the Morning Facebook page. And I don't want to hear about it, sister-in-law, when you look at this and you're going to email me, you shouldn't be doing this because you're pregnant. You shouldn't be doing I don't want to hear it. You know what? Barb, my instructor, rode until she was 8 months old, pregnant. 8 months pregnant. Barb actually ran a 2-star in her second trimester. I don't even want to hear it from any of you. So, Edward did his first ever jump course this weekend. So with me. So I'm pretty excited, and I posted the link. Chad videotaped it from the back of Duke. So you'll see that the video is a little shaky because Chad's sitting on his horse at the moment. But I rode this weekend. Edward did his first ever jump course, and we got it on tape. So I was just really proud.
Terrific. And it went well?
Well, you'll have to watch the video and find out. But I didn't fall off.
Okay.
There
well,
you
that's
go.
Good. How's Chad feel about you riding? Is he okay with all this so far?
Oh, my God. He was out there. I jumped. I did a 3-foot jump school on Jet yesterday. And he's like, you want me to raise it up? He does not care about it at all. But I think he draws the line with cross country. That's the only thing that really bothers me.
Yeah, well, I can understand that. But it's ironic, though, that with cross country, you're actually wearing the most protection.
Good point.
It is kind of ironic. But, I don't know if you'd want one of those things blowing up when you're pregnant.
Well, I've been wearing the vest, actually, the air vest, when I've been jumping. For some reason, Edward's first jump course, I did not wear it. Brilliant idea. but whatever, you know. We're going to do what we're going to do. Everybody, like some friends came over. They're like, how long are you allowed to ride? And I was like, oh, no, I'm not supposed to ride. Both doctors that I've seen are like, don't ride. do not ride, do not ride, do not ride. And I'm like, why? Like, well, I said, is there something, like, in my system that's going to get messed up by posting or, you know, or cantering or jumping? I said, no, 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 it's just if you fall off. Like, don't fall off. Or don't ride because you'll fall off. I'm like, well, I'll just
They're
try
just
not to fall off then.
They have to CYA. That way they can say, we told you not to ride.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Told you
that's
so.
All that is.
Thanks. Thanks, Glenn.
You're welcome. You're welcome. I'm saying don't ride either just because I'm CYAing too as your friend. I don't want to be sued.
Oh, what?
You want to talk about Omega Alpha?
I would love to. Omega Alpha is one of the best supplement companies, one of my two favorites in the world, actually. And it's where we get a lot of our stuff. And Omega Alpha, I'm looking for the ad you put in here because they have – we had Dr. Chang on last Monday, and we talked about what was called lung slush, or a combination of stuff for horses with breathing problems. And they've got lung slush, and now they've got Herba Cough. It's used for horses with severe breathing problems such as COPD and heaves, and it's also beneficial for horses that race on synthetic surfaces that can also help with respiratory problems. So, if you want to take care of this, especially in upper respiratory tracts for horses, just like I'm trying to be smart, just like Dr. Chang was last week, but there's no way any of us can sound as smart as Dr. Chang, so we should just replay him talking about the respiratory problems that come up with you guys riding your horses in the indoor arena and inhaling all this dust, and you've got lung slush, which you give them like once a month, and it clears everything out, just kind of like a reset button for their airwaves and their lung system. They also have Respifree, which has a natural antihistamine that relieves allergic symptoms. So you can find Respifree, you can find Lung Slush, you can find Herba Cough at all and all of their other products at OmegaAlphaEquine.com. It's OmegaAlphaEquine.com.
Thank you, Janie. Well, coming up next is the ultimate Christmas gift. It's part of our series of the things that you would love to own someday. And today we are talking about a property that is in the North Shore of Boston that actually Jennifer and I have both been to. Apparently, Jennifer says I've been there too, but I know Jennifer's been there. It's a beautiful property, and we actually got to our guests through Katie Murphy, who we have followed for years, her and her husband, through their engagement and their marriage. They were our adopted couple, and she works at this firm. And I said, well, we had to have somebody on to talk about Mrs. Peary's Place. So we do. We have Ruth Kennedy Suddeth, who is the director of the residential brokerage division of Landvest Incorporated. Good morning, Ruth.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for joining us today. And I know you've put some work into doing some background research and spending some time learning about this property. Tell us about this amazing property that's for sale up in the North Shore of Boston.
Well, I'm really excited to do it. And thanks, Katie, for the lead. It's fun to be in touch with you guys because one of the great things about my work is that I get to bring these marvelous properties to people have been looking all over for them. I think all of us that love horses know how hard it is to find the place that's really right for our horses, where the land suits horses and is set up well and feels really good, because so much land has been developed that it's hard. It's like that "Where Will You Ride?" campaign, you know? And this is
right.
It's so
yeah.
rare to find a place where it's just perfect for horses. You're not sort of trying to put it on some nasty clay soil in between a wetland and a mountain or something, you know? So
right.
Mrs. Peary's Place has been a horse paradise since James Garland built the first barn in 1895. And when he built it, he wrote a book about it called The American Stable as the sort of epitome of the perfect place to have horses. So we are over 100 years of a perfect place to raise horses, and Mrs. Peary's barn manager told me that they can go out on their big, picture an enormous lawn of, I don't know, almost polo field size, which is their sort of schooling arena. It's big enough for driving on it, and is big grass arena. They use that 360 days a year. The quality of the turf is so good. And she's done similar things with all of her turnouts. So it's beautiful. It's perfectly located. But most importantly, for those of us that love horses, it's set up so the horses are comfortable and healthy and happy all the time, which is pretty cool.
I think comfortable is an understatement. There are chandeliers in the barn.
I don't think the horses care about the chandeliers, but man, is it fun for us to look around. Mrs. Peary, as most of your listeners probably know, is one of those legendary horsewomen. She, Alexander McKay Smith featured her in an article in the Chronicle some years ago up in the real firmament of great horse people. She's done everything from galloping and training her own allowance-winning racehorses, breeding, breaking, galloping, and training her own allowance-winning racehorses to Welsh ponies, to wonderful hunters, to four-in-hand FEI-level driving horses, to sponsoring eventers, teaching such wonderful riders as Amanda Smith Warrington and Bobby Costello how to ride in pony clubs. She's just one of those great horsewomen that I think all of us have had the opportunity, if we're lucky, to brush up against over the course of our riding careers, and she's certainly one of the best.
Now, didn't they have a ton of ponies on this property?
She did. You know what she said? At one point, she had over 125 Welsh ponies on over 1,000 acres of leased land, and she said that she had so many ponies, and them being ponies, they'd get out. So she had trained the Hamilton Mass police force to always have halters and oats in their police cruisers.
That's when you know you have pull in the town.
She did say that what would end up happening was that whenever a horse got loose, they'd call her because she was the usual suspect, right?
That's funny. Now, this property's 80 acres. It has a new house on it, though, which makes it kind of unique in the properties we've talked about in the past.
It does. What's happened with the property over the years is that it's been sort of consistently updated, primarily, I will say, for the horses and the animals, though she put this wonderful big house that looks a lot like the barn. It was designed to sort of fit aesthetically with this sort of classic Victorian stone barn. And it's a big, comfortable house. It sits out over these big old gardens so that you can see the horses from basically all the windows of the house. And it's comfortable and easy and quite grand, but not in an uptight way.
Yeah, it is beautiful. I mean, I'm looking at pictures of it here online, and we'll post a link. Jennifer will post a link on our Facebook page if you want to go see pictures of this house. It is, you know, it is beautiful. And, of course, I'd take the kitchen. You can just ship that over anytime.
You know, my sense is that probably all of us would end up spending all our time in the kitchen. It's big, and it's open, and it's light, and you can see everybody grazing.
You know, it has a greenhouse, it has a large pool, but you're right about the old barn. The old stone barn is just incredible looking. It's something out of that you would see in England in a storybook.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just beautiful.
It's this wonderful combination of being really cool and historic but incredibly functional, and that's really rare. You know, we get these sort of machines for living new barns, you know, that people have built on a, you know, you sort of scrape your pad with the bulldozer and plop the horse farm down, which are fairly charmless but work really well. And then they're really old, funky things like maybe most of us live in, where things don't really work very well, but they're kind of cool. Mrs. Peary's is kind of the best of all. It works really well, and it's got this incredible sense of history and natural beauty. Plus, it's close to everything. It's in the middle of Myopia Hunt Country, which, as Jennifer knows, is just the greatest place to ride. It's just magnificent and very horse-friendly, and it's really close to downtown Boston and close to the commuter rail, so it's easy to get in and out of town. In fact, I asked Mrs. Peary, I said, so Mrs. Peary, tell me, you know, what is it that you really love about this place? And she stopped, and this is a very distinguished woman, and she looked at me and she said, you know what it is? It's every girl's fantasy of how you live your life with animals.
Oh, wow. And she certainly has. Now, it is part, it's backed up to, and you can get to the trail system from there too. And I know, Jennifer, you've ridden on that trail system before. That's quite something to see as well.
Oh gosh, yeah. I could go on for an hour just about that.
What do you love about it, Jennifer?
Just that it is accessible literally to anyone. There's no requirements. You can trailer it and park, you can live there and ride across it, and that the entire town of South Hamilton is genuinely horse-friendly. It's not a subdivision, it's not a neighborhood, the town is horse friendly. They genuinely love having horses in their neighborhood, and it's just the coolest thing.
You know, Mrs. Peary echoed that. She said, you know, it's a community where horses are accepted, and you can immediately be accepted as a part of the horse community and have enough room to ride on these magnificent trails and also to get around just to ride on this property. There's a big gallop around the perimeter of the property. So it's just wonderfully, I don't know, for those of us that are used to being a little bit cooped up, it's just wonderfully capacious to be able to get out on the trails and have enough room on your own property to work as well. It's a wonderful community thanks to the efforts, the conservation efforts of a lot of people and the ongoing efforts of Essex County Greenbelt and the Essex County Trail Association, which helped to make the trails open for everybody to use. It's really wonderful.
Now, I have a question for you here, because I'm looking at it, and you talk about this is every girl's dream, and while, yes, it certainly is, I could definitely live there forever. The part of my dream that would need to be tweaked, I guess, is I don't see a heated indoor riding arena, and we all
go
way up north.
You mean you don't go south?
Oh, sorry.
Nobody stays there in the winter, Jamie.
No, you know that Jamie, you're right. There are a couple things. I had a really great conversation with your barn manager about it. There are at least two really good spots to put an indoor if you wanted one. They've been so lucky because of the quality of their footing that they haven't felt that they really needed one, and also going south. But it's pretty well laid out so that you could either do the highly functional indoor right next to the barn, or you could do one in a couple of other locations too, because the site is so open and level.
Okay,
but
good.
You can have your heated indoor.
I was going to say, there'd have to be some sort of like, because if you don't go south, which, I mean, if I lived in this place, I wouldn't want to go south because it's so beautiful and spectacular. So what I would have to do is I'd have to build some, because obviously I have tons of money, I could build some underground tunnels that go from the barn to the heated indoor so you can just go underground.
Hey, look, dear one, you wouldn't have to go under. You could just go straight from the barn.
You don't want to go under here because you're at about zero ground level because the beach is not too far away and the ocean. So go underground, that far, you're probably going to get wet.
We'll just trot.
Or you can walk from the... I think probably where you'd put it, there's right next to the old barn, there's a sand dressage arena, and that might be the likely place where you'd put the indoor. But you know what? You'd have lots of choices, and if it was your place, you'd want to give it some time to think about exactly how you wanted to do it.
I'm in. I'll buy.
You wouldn't put a $100,000 pole barn either, I got to tell you. It wouldn't fit in this neighborhood. Now tell me, Jamie, how much would you pay for this?
Oh, gosh. Are you asking me how much I think it cost or how much?
If we ask you how much you pay for it, I know the answer. But to know how much you think it costs.
I don't have any money, so it would, would hamper. I think this has got to be, 80 acres in this beautiful area. It's got to be, I haven't seen any pictures of the house yet, but it's got to be close to $8, $10 million. I don't know anything about property.
Ruth, what is it going for at this point?
Under four, which in the world of this stuff is what's called a screaming deal.
That actually is. Compared to some of the other properties we've looked at, that is a deal. Now it's been for sale for is she still Mrs. Peary still there?
With two lovely ponies that she's starting to drive. So she's always busy with a new project.
Oh wow. Yeah, well, and, as I said, it is a beautiful property. We're going to post a link to it on our Facebook page. It's just storybook. Word I can use that really, I think, describes this place is it's kind of just a storybook fantasy come true. It looks like Disney should have built it.
It really is, and it works, which is great. One of the things that I really love about our business is that there are these incredibly beautiful places that are made by remarkable people. And it's just really neat to come in and inherit that legacy. Mrs. Peary said that when she and her husband moved in as young marrieds, the previous owners had left the place completely set up, including riding boots that fit them each perfectly. So you could be the next person. Just give us your shoe size.
That's funny. Well, now, I do have one more question before we let you go. What the heck is it says in the description, a gunite pool? What is a gunite pool?
It's just the kind of surface for the pool.
Okay. It's like a marble kind of thing.
No, it's not. It's just a kind of, it's the sort of de rigueur, nicely constructed pool. It's nothing. It's a very beautiful pool, and it's got great views of the fields. But that's, if you have a nice pool, they tend to be made of gunite.
And if you have a nice pool in the North Shore of Boston, there's one other requirement, and this one has it, and that it's heated.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, you're never going to be in it. So
exactly.
This is called Aquila Farm, and it is in the North Shore of Boston. It's 80 acres. It's, you know, we've been talking about it, and it's under $4 million of real steel. We're going to post a link to it on our Facebook page. And thank you so much, Ruth, for joining us, and thank Katie for putting this together for us. We really appreciate it.
Absolutely. And if you love following this kind of stuff, please check out the LandVest Facebook page and the LandVest blog, where you can find all sorts of wonderful things varying from stocking stuffers to fantasy lands.
Oh, I want it.
All right. Thanks very much, you guys.
I'd settle for a stocking stuffer, I think. Thank you, Ruth.
Take care. Bye-bye. Merry Christmas. Bye-bye.
My people will call you.
This is an unbelievable place. It is beautiful. I mean, and
can
it has.
I live in the coach house? They don't have pictures of the interior of the coach house, but it is literally museum quality, and I want to live in it.
It's beautiful. It really is. This segment depresses me, Glenn, because I'm never going to, I mean, like Jen said, she was lucky to grace the presence of it by riding by, you know, just to be able to go there and live there. And how much money you'd have just to pay people to take care of it. All I think, like, there's three barns that would require at least 2 to 3 employees, you know, for all of them. And then you have like the bedding and then the horses and then this. It's astronomical how much that place would cost to run. So $4 million is like the purchase, like buying a horse. The purchase price is not the expensive part. It's the upkeep.
Right, right. You're absolutely right. I mean, it is and I'm sure property taxes are not low in South Hamilton, Massachusetts.
Yeah, probably not. That's amazing. What a beautiful place. Holy cow.
Well, I got good news for you today, Jamie, because it appears that the song I had planned to play today did not upload properly. So I'm going to have to play what we call our emergency song.
Yay! All right, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Templeton Thompson and Girls and Horses.
She talks about them, dreams about them, thinks about them all the time. She's got to have them, be lost without them. You can see it in her eyes. What is it? What is it? Now when I was a young girl, they were my whole world. They were my one safe place. Now that I'm older, still leaving. dream about him. I live to love him, and I love to ride. I'll always have him, be lost without him. There's magic in those endless. What is it? What is it with girls and horses? What is it? What is it with girls and horses? Yeah, yeah.
Love, love, love that song. I never get sick of that song. That's Girls and Horses, Templeton Thompson. You're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network, brought to you today by Omega Alpha Equine. And I just wanted to let you guys know, go to secretariat.com. If you have not voted on the Vox Populi Award, it is now open, and the voting closes, I believe, on December 23rd. Now, what this is this is like the People's Choice Award. The Voice of the People Award, the first winner was Zenyatta. The second winner was Rapid Redux. And then this year, there's a list of nominees that is incredibly impressive. Jennifer, have you heard of these? Have you heard all the nominees yet? They added some. Okay, well, I guess I'm by myself. Well, the
no, you're not.
Sorry, I was on mute. Geez, you guys, stick with me here. Come on. The nominees this year are Frankel, which is, of course, Europe's undefeated horse of the year, super horse. They also have All Have Another, which is the winner of the Derby and Preakness of this year. Painter, who Painter is the one that he won the Haskell this year, and then he had all those health issues, and it was Save Painter, and he had colitis and all these different health issues. He battled back, and he made it. He fought off laminitis to make the comeback, so he's in there. Royal Delta, of course, the super filly who won the Breeders' Cup Ladies Classic for the second year in a row. You've got Shackleford, to me, who's just like the workhorse of all workhorses. Shanghai Bobby, which is an undefeated two-year-old, and Wise Dan, who won the Breeders' Cup Mile this year and broke a record. Now, they're also doing, God, I wish you would have thought of this. They're also doing a write-in ballot. You can write in any thoroughbred of your choosing. And one of our, I think it was Sumiko, one of our listeners, posted that she wrote her in, and apparently she was not alone. A lot of people have written in Black Caviar. How is Black Caviar not on the list?
I don't know. I don't know how that horse didn't make that list. I have no idea. Maybe they, who knows? It should have been.
Yeah, and now I'm mad because I wish I could go back and re-vote. But you only let you vote once, and now I want to go back in and write her in. So maybe I'll try to find other computers to go to and write her in. But it's, again, it's secretariat.com if you want to vote for the Vox Populi or the Voice of the People. The winners are chosen by your votes, by a group of horse people and Penny Chenery. So she gets probably the final vote. She probably already has it picked out, but voting helps, I'm sure.
Well, there's another thing that you can vote for right now that just opened this morning, Jamie. You may not be aware of this yet, and that is the ESVA Awards, the Equestrian Social Media Awards. We won one a couple years ago here at Horses in the Morning, and they're open again for 2013. This is the nomination phase where you can go in and write in whoever you would like. So if you love Horses in the Morning, I went and looked at all the categories, and it looks like the category that we'd qualify, again, Jim, you're going to love this, the category we'd qualify in is Best Broadcast Media, which means we're going to be in there with the HRTVs and the RFDs and all the big ones again. It's just going to be us little guys. But you know what? If we have a bunch of our listeners go and nominate us, maybe we'll at least get nominated. You know how all the actors always have that speech planned, even though they really don't mean it? Oh, I'm so fortunate to be nominated for an Oscar. And you know they're thinking, if I don't get this, I'm going to be so upset. And they really don't mean that, but they say it. Well, we can do that too.
Yeah, that's crap. I think that the fact that we're in that category, you know what? You know what's really crap is that I'm going to have to listen to you talk about how we didn't win again for a while. And we're going to have Liam on, I'm sure, who pretty much is in charge of doing all of the ESMA stuff. I mean, he's like the brainchild, the creator of the ESMA Awards. And we'll have him on, and we'll talk about it. We'll probably do an ESMA show, and all I'll hear about is how we did not win from one.
But there's a couple other categories. I'm looking at them here. Maybe we could get it in Best Talking Animal. Maybe if we got a talking animal on the show, then we could be nominated for that.
Look, if you play the dang Dominic the Donkey song one more time, I'm going to hang up.
How about, we can't get Best Newcomer anymore. That's what we won for before. Best Equestrian Social Network. How about...
We have a good Facebook page.
Yeah, right. We have a good Facebook page. How about Creative Equestrians? We're Creative Equestrians. We have to be creative every morning.
We are very creative. We should write us in for that one.
Okay, so put us under Creative Questions. Oh, you might as well nominate us, Broadcast Weedy, even though we won't win. And then, we can nominate Jamie for the best use of social media by celebrity.
There you go. First of all, I don't really use social media. Second of all, I am definitely not a celebrity.
Well, okay, let's change it. Best use of social media by a pregnant talk show host. What do you think? You could probably win that one.
If that was a choice, I would be a shoo-in for that one.
So anyway, you can go vote for all of the – there are like 34 different categories. I think Liam went nuts this year. So you can go place your nomination votes. We'll post a link to it on our Facebook page a little later. But that just came out. Well, we are waiting for our next guest here. We're waiting for Leslie from Horse Nation to come on board. I wanted to mention that on Wednesday's show, we have something special for you. Christy Lee Cook is going to be on the show, American Idol. She was in the top 10 a couple of years ago, and she is actually co-hosting. I'm trying to remember what awards it was tonight, Jennifer. She posted it on our Facebook page. Do you remember? There's so many award shows.
ACA or CAC? ACA. That's what it is. It's the ACA.
Apparently it's on TV tonight, and Christy Lee is going to be co-hosting, and you'll get to see her on there. She was posting on her Facebook page. She's a country singer and came out of American Idol. She was posting on her Facebook page letting her fans decide which dress and which hairstyle she would use tonight. So, and she'll be on with us Wednesday morning, providing her hangover has gone away by then.
No,
so
that's why. Gotcha. Now, what award show? ACA.
Here, let me look on her Facebook page and see.
They won't come up with anything for Making Country Music Awards. I mean, the ACMs, the CMAs, the CMTs. It's ridiculous.
This is the American Country Awards, the ACAs. It's on.
Wow.
I don't know what it's on Fox. Tonight. Yep. The ACA.
No kidding. And she's hosting it?
Wait a minute. She said she's co-hosting live from the red carpet. So apparently she's doing the red carpet stuff. So you have to watch ahead of time. That's what it says on her Facebook page. She was singing in, apparently was singing in Vegas for some of the rodeo stuff going on there last night. So that's Christy Lee Cook, but she'll be here. Jennifer has worked her butt off to get this interview, Jamie. She has gone through layers and layers and layers. And the reason that we did is Christy Lee is a horse girl. So that's why we wanted to have her on. She's one of the very few American Idols that were horse girls. So we wanted to get her on, and she has worked her butt off to get this interview for Wednesday morning.
Well, Jennifer, you want to do the interview? Because, you know.
You feel like you know her now by now?
Yeah. I know her agent really well now.
We'll have her on next.
Well, I think Leslie's on the line here. Let's see who this is. Is this Leslie?
This is Leslie.
Hey, are you feeling better?
I'm feeling so much better. Thank you guys for putting up with me last week.
Now, you still sound a little bit stuffy, but that's residual stuff, I would imagine. Now, I've got to ask, did you ride when you were sick?
Thankfully, I was giving my horse a week off, a couple weeks off after show season. So thankfully, my sickness coincidentally with his time off. So that worked out well for the both of us.
Leslie, how does it go when you give your event horse time off? Because Jet, my horse, after Galway Downs this past month, I was going to give Jet a month off. He gets his month vacation.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he made it 4 days before he was so out of control that I finally just had to get back on him. Like, everybody's like, are you riding when you're pregnant? I'm like, I have to. He'll kill me. I will die. You can't even lead him from the pasture. He's so out of control. Does your horse relax with the vacation, or is he or she a mess?
He did actually chill out with a little time off. I think he needed some time to decompress. I think usually my horses I don't have to schedule vacations into their schedule because they do it themselves, either by, you know, they get some massive abscess, or, you know, they're lame or broken for some reason, so they just kind of work their own vacation. And he's been, I mean, knocking on wood, but he's been so sound and going so strong for so many months. This is the first time I had to sort of voluntarily step back. But he went back to work a couple of days ago and seemed refreshed, so which was and not super crazy, a little crazy, not too bad.
Good. Well, that's good. Well, let's see. I'm really excited about something that you guys posted online, and I think we should get to the new Christmas song last. I think we should do that last. I want to skip that one because I've got a little special surprise for you guys, for our listeners. But let's talk about winter equestrian sports. You wouldn't think that snow and horses went together, but we talked about this in one of our first ever episodes of Horses in the Morning, and it's time to revisit the sport of ski-joring.
Ski-joring, yes. So for those who might be unfamiliar with it, it's kind of like you're water skiing behind a horse, except snow skiing. You've got sort of a tow rope. And I guess I was looking up the history of it, and it originated just sort of as a method of winter travel. Like, people just ski behind their horses to get wherever they are going in cold climates. And it was a demonstration sport in the 1928 Winter Olympics. But over the years, it has evolved into this kind of crazy thing where they have competitions, and people are the horses basically like sort of running at top speed down this track, and the person behind it is slaloming and going over jumps, and it all looks very terrifying to me. It seems like a bad idea. I don't know. Have you ever seen this in person?
No, but I was looking at the pictures that you have, and pretty much every one of the pictures, it is something that is going on in downtown of some tiny little podunk town where they've closed down Main Street. They've got so much snow. It's like every little town in Wyoming is doing this or something, because there's so much snow. They pile it all on the roads. They close down the road, and they make these jumps. And I want to know which one looks more terrifying to you, galloping the horse or being the skier?
Skiing, I think, is – so I'm terrified of all sports that don't have horses in them, ironically. Ironically, I would gallop at top speed towards solid obstacles, and that's not a big deal, but, like, throw a ball at me and I will scream and duck. snow skiing is – definitely falls in that. Like, it's dangerous. Snow skiing is dangerous. And you know, I think the most terrifying photos of these are, there's traffic lights. I just noticed this. There's traffic lights above the street. And in some of them, it looks like the skiers, actually, they're going up over a jump, and it looks like they're going to hit the traffic light.
Yeah.
Scary.
That's a great picture. This is a pretty exciting sport. I would much rather be the skier than the horseback rider because, you know, I'm sorry, going at a dead run through the town square in the snow to me seems a little bit more dangerous than just holding onto a rope that you can let go of at any time. So this is not the most intelligent type sport we've ever seen, but it looks like, I mean, there's like people lined up along the road. This is kind of a big deal.
Well, I got to tell you, let me give you a little bit. I was just looking it up on Wikipedia here, and ski joring actually means, in Norwegian, it means ski driving is what it means, which kind of makes sense. And they're actually, in Norway, they actually have distance races of up to 440 kilometers where you're actually driving the horse and there's no rider. So you're on the skis driving the horse up to 440 miles. That's a long time on skis.
Wow. That sounds awful. How does everybody not die?
And apparently they also do this with dogs and with cars. They'll pull you behind their four-wheel drive Jeeps. You can go ski-joring behind a Jeep, too.
Wow. Wouldn't we be lucky?
Wow.
All right, moving on. Tell us about the feel-good story about the cutest thing ever.
The cutest thing ever. This is definitely a holiday feel-good story. There was a story on ABC News last week about a miniature horse, 2.5 feet tall, named Tinker, who works for the Salvation Army as a bell ringer. And we put a video online, and he stands out, you know, on the street or in the parking lot or wherever, and rings a bell with his mouth, without prompting from his owner, that he picks up the bell, he rings it, and he picks up a sign that says Merry Christmas, and he picks up all these things and waves them around. And so, of course, people just eat this up and want to give him money. And so they say that he raises about 10 times more money every day than human bell ringers. Like, he's raised like $2,500 a day. Isn't
wow.
that crazy?
Let me just tell you what would happen if I was to go, because anytime I go into a store and there's a Salvation Army person out there, I empty my pocket. You know, whatever changes in my pocket, I feel like, you know, just throw it in there. So if I was to walk into a store and there was a miniature horse standing out there bowing, holding up Christmas signs and ringing a bell, I would not only empty my pockets, I would empty my purse, I would go back to the car, look under the seat. Whatever I had available, I would give to that little hardworking pony. Oh my God, it's the cutest thing ever! Let's start. Let's go around. Would this totally melt you, Leslie?
Absolutely. I would just give it a blank check. I so cute.
Did you guys watch the video and see how they transport the mini pony to the location?
No.
In the back of a minivan. They have a little ramp they put up to the back of the minivan, and they transport it in the back of the minivan.
Oh, my gosh. So
and it actually picks up the bell, rings the bell with this little bell with its hand, with its mouth, but it actually picks up the bell off the ground. They don't give it to him. It picks it up himself. This is a smart little mini.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, it is a minivan. And this is not just – it looks like almost like a little dwarf mini almost. I mean, it's so cute. Oh, my
so
gosh.
So cute, and it's got a little Santa hat. Oh, so
it's
cute.
All black.
Yeah.
Very cute, very cute. Yep, I would definitely cough up whatever was in my pocket for that.
Glenn, why don't you, after this is done, if you don't mind, Leslie, we'd love to pull this audio off, and we'll have to play it for our listeners maybe on Wednesday. Just play this clip of this news story, because there's, like, little kids giving money, and, oh, God, it's so cute. I can't stand it.
Warms my cold heart.
I know. All right. Leslie, before we get to the final piece de resistance, I want to ask you just a little personal question. What you're newly married. What is you and your husband's Christmas plans this year?
Oh, gosh, yeah. This actually started last year when we were engaged, the getting drug around from place to place. The last year we kind of drove all over the Southeast, just like hitting various cities for a few hours.
Yeah.
So that's good times. this year we actually get to stay in town. Everyone's kind of coming to us.
Nice.
So that's exciting. Yeah.
Any exciting family drama, like his mother-in-law hates your mom, and then they're going to have a drunk fight, and then your dad is going to go sit out in the car for 4 hours because he's tired of the family. Oh, wait, that's my family. Hold on. what did your family do?
Oh, man, there's no telling. They're always, they like to mix it up.
You're from the South. You're from Tennessee. Of course they do. That's what they do.
Yeah.
Okay,
well, let's get to the final story here of you've done us a favor here, and you guys have rewritten the song Santa Baby, Hurry Down the Chimney, that one, and you've rewritten it in an equestrian version, and you posted the lyrics on your website on horsenation.com. But what I just, it wouldn't be true to horsenation.com if you didn't sing it to the Horse Nation on Horse Nation
in the
morning. So I am going to need you to, and of course, if you don't, I will figure out how. I will post the link to our show today, and you will have to put it on your website, okay? Do you understand? This better be on Horse Nation this afternoon. Yes, I sang this song on the radio. I want to see it, I want to hear it, and I want to hear it now.
Okay, are you sure? I mean, the FCC is not going to kick you off the air, or like people's laptops.
No, I think we'll be good.
Chatter
we'll be
or something. I'm not we'll, sure.
We'll
we're
worry
not
about
FCC
the
sanctioned. Yeah, we're good. We're good.
Okay. I'm just preparing you. Okay, here goes. Santa Baby, the equestrian version. Santa Baby, slip the stallion under the tree for me. Been an awful good girl, Santa Baby, so hurry down the hayloft tonight. Santa Baby, an Oswald's F-352 in blue with a tow package, dear. Santa Baby, so hurry down the hayloft tonight. Think of all the trainers but five kids. Think of all the distances I haven't missed. Next year I could make the team if you'll just check off my Christmas list. Santa Baby, I want a rig and really that's not so big. Been an angel all year, Santa Baby, so hurry down the hayloft tonight. Santa Honey, there's one thing I really do need, the deed to a Wellington farm. Santa Honey, so hurry down the hayloft tonight. Santa Cutie, I need a hot stable hen named Tex and Tex. Find your ex on the line, Santa Cutie, and hurry down the hayloft tonight. Come and leave my horse a snack, a lifetime supply of supplements from Smart Pack. I really do believe in you. Let's see if you believe in me. Santa Baby, forgot to mention one little thing, a ring. Like a real ring. A giant indoor riding ring. I don't mean on the phone, Santa Baby, so hurry down the hayloft tonight. Ta-da!
Very good!
Yay! Fantastic!
Very good!
We have the illustrated version on the website, so you can go in and check that out and, have a little sing-along.
Now, Don't you think that I have already been to your website and seen, first of all, the Totalis the Stallion doing an extended trot down the across the diagonal? The next one is an F-350. Then the picture of the super jumping horse. Then you scroll down to the trailer and to the Wellington farm. And then you get to Tex, the hot stable hand named Tex. I have to have that picture blown up into like 8x10. Oh my God!
Under my tree.
That is a hot stable hand named Tex. My husband's left for work. I can just holler it. Good God! Yeah. Okay. Well, listen. Thank you so much for singing. Thank you for being
You're
part
a good
of
sport,
TV.
Leslie.
Very
sport.
Nice.
I'm always willing to publicly humiliate myself for you guys,
hey,
for horses in the morning.
I do it every day. It's cool. I get it.
And Jamie was right. We expect to see this posted after we put up the recorded show. We expect a link to it on, in a separate post. I sang on Horses in the Morning so that everybody can listen to it this afternoon.
We'll do it.
Come and get it. Good job, spirit. All right. Leslie, thank you so much. We will talk to you again next week. Get to shopping, girl.
Okay. You too.
All right. Bye.
She can actually sing. I was impressed.
I know.
With
the
cold and everything.
No wonder she didn't fight me too much. Like,
I know. I thought she was going to fight. I can't believe you got her to do it.
She just jumped around. Okay, I'll do it. I was like, wow, that's pretty impressive. I expected that. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to sing. Well, when you have a good voice, you'll sing.
Yeah. You and I are disadvantaged in that department.
How dare you? I'm a beautiful singer.
Yeah, no, we don't want you to. You don't have to sing it. It's okay. We really enjoyed Leslie. We don't need another round of it. That's for sure.
Oh, I love it. Thank you very much, Glenn.
You're welcome. I'm there to support you, Jamie, anytime. Hey, did you come across, I got this, somebody posted it on my Facebook page, and I'm sorry to whoever, let me see if I can give credit where credit's due here. It's my sister-in-law, Lynn, that posted this on my Facebook page. Did you see the post for the 7 stages of aging on horseback?
No, God, no.
Oh, this is
what?
Great. Oh, you got to see this. You got to hear this, because I think Jennifer and I are approaching the end of the stages, I think, at this point. Stage 1. Fall off pony, bounce, laugh, climb back on, and repeat. We all remember. You remember that stage when you were a little kid and you fell off and just hop back on. Stage 2. Felt now. Everybody should relate to one of these stages where you are at now. Stage 2. Fall off the horse, run after horse, cussing, climb back on by shimming up horse's neck and ride until sundown. There's this.
Okay.
The preteen stage. Stage 3. Fall off horse, use sleeve of shirt to staunch bleeding. Have friend help you get back on horse, take to Advil, apply ice packs when you get home, and ride the next day.
20s. That was my 20s.
Your 20s? Okay. Stage 4. Fall off horse. Refuse advice to call ambulance. Drive self to urgent care clinic. Jennifer and I have lived this one. Entertain nursing staff with tales of previous daredevil stunts on horseback. Back to riding before the cast comes off.
Still
20. We lived this one. Stage 5, fall off horse, temporarily forget name of horse and name of husband, flirt shamelessly with paramedics when they arrive, spend week in hospital while titanium pins are screwed into place, start riding again before doctor gives official okay. That's in your 30s to 40, early 40s, I think.
God, I hope not.
Stage 6, fall off horse, fail to see any humor when hunky paramedic says you again. Gain first-hand knowledge of advances in medical technology thanks to a stint in the ICU. Convince self that permanent limp isn't that noticeable. Promise husband you'll give up riding. 1 week later, purchase older, slower, shorter horse.
Nice.
And the last and final stage is stage 7. You have this to look forward to, Jenny. Stage 7, slip off horse. Relieved when artificial joints and implanted medical devices seem unaffected. Tell husband that scrapes and bruises are due to gardening accident. Pretend you don't see husband roll his eyes and mutter as he walks away. Give apple to horse. So there you go. The 7 stages of aging on horseback. And you know what? They're true. They are true. That was by barnmice.com, by the way.
Yeah, check them out at facebook.com/barnmice. They always have like cute little print-ups like this to share on your Facebook page. So, all right, well, that's good. I haven't hit, let's see, I'm still at stage three, knock on wood. That's what I'm going to stick with, though.
Wait a minute. I think you've approached stage four, refused advice to call an ambulance, drive to the urgent care clinic.
Oh, yeah, stage four. Okay, I'm in stage four. You're right.
Yeah, you're fibbing a little about your age there, Jamie. Just a little.
Well, age is one thing. It doesn't age you, these segments. It just describes what kind of person you are and how hard you fall.
It does change over the years, though. It does change. I mean, how hard you fall does change.
Oh, my gosh. I remember when I rode my pony as a kid with no saddle, no helmet, of course, I couldn't really catch her. So if I caught her, I just had some baling twine in my pocket and I would grab she wore a halter all the time because you couldn't catch her. So I'd slip some baling twine on her and then hop on her back, shimmy up the side of her, hop on, and she would gallop. That's all she did. She didn't ever walk. She just ran. And I remember she ran head first into a tree one time, hit the tree at a canter. I felt like we were flying. Obviously, we weren't going that fast. But we hit the tree. I flew off right next to the tree, and I was like, are you okay? Okay. And I got back on and galloped away. Like, just remember that. Like, what the hell? If I did that now, I'd be like, I'm sorry. I've hurt. Like, I fell off Jet a month ago. My back still hurts. And blessedly, now, being pregnant, you can't take pain meds. That's great. Thanks.
Nope.
This is fun.
I've told this story before, but the one fall off in the stage four, fall off horse, refused advice to call an ambulance, that was Jennifer when she walked into the house that one morning after doing the horses, and she was holding her hand on top of her head, and there was blood everywhere, all over her face, everywhere. And she said, I got kicked in the top of the head. I need to go to the hospital. And I think we made the suggestion to call the ambulance, and she didn't want to hear anything of that. So we put her in the car, get a mile down the road to the little town, and she starts to turn white. So I had to stop at the doctor's office, call the ambulance, and have the ambulance pick us up at the doctor's office. That's a stubborn horse girl for you.
That's bizarre.
Yeah.
And a little gross. And if you see blood, Glenn, just ignore the wife and call the ambulance. If there's a copious amount of blood, just call.
Pouring out of the top of the head. Yeah. So, yeah, that was probably not a good idea. Yeah, I should have called.
Gross.
Yeah.
That's
yeah. 14 staples later. In the shape of a horseshoe, by the way.
Ooh, well, at least it's pretty.
That's it for today. As I said, we'll be back on Wednesday. Wednesday, we're going to do the opposite of what we did last Wednesday. And Jamie, I got lots of good comments on we did the crappiest Christmas songs last Wednesday. Well, this week, we're going to do the top 10 favorite Christmas songs by a survey, and we're also going to give you our top 10 favorite Christmas songs, and then we also have Christy Lee Cook coming on the American Idol. So that will all be happening on Wednesday. Don't forget to get your really bad ads in to Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com for a pair of hose nozzles by Hydra Tea. So you can look forward to those as well. We thank our guests and our sponsors for putting up with us today.
Yes, thank you guys, and thanks Omega Alpha for sponsoring today's show. And everybody have a great one. Go ride your horse, spay, neuter, and geld. Right now. Just do it. What are you waiting for?
Be careful riding today, Jamie.
Thanks.
You are pregnant. Don't fall off.